The job, the family, the kids, the sports, it all becomes overwhelming, and it's as if Jesus takes a back seat in our lives. How do you overcome this world we live in? Well, the answer can be found in Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 26. Join us today as we explore that passage together in our continuing series on faith. Faith that overcomes the world specifically today. It's a marvelous journey through Hebrews 11 here on Abounding Grace. Won't you join us? With today's broadcast and a look at this faith, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
I've said over, it's just remarkable how many times God says to us, do not fear in the face of foes. This is what the Psalms are saying over and over and over to us. But I think it's intended today, as I was reflecting on this, to have us think as parents about our children a little bit. What we're communicating to them. I think the author sees a very important connection here to how this faith was taught to Moses. They did not fear. And this points, I think, so important to such a witness of faith that the author of Hebrews is really trying to capture for that first century church a witness of faith in the variety of hardships in which we find ourselves that gives a lasting witness to our children to embrace the same faith, to believe the same faith, to receive the same faith in the testings and difficulties that they're going to endure and face. This home is not their home either. So everyone, if you look down at the next verses, 27, you see the same faith in Moses. There's a connection here you can't miss. Their parents didn't fear, his parents didn't fear the edict of the king. By faith, he left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king. See, he wants you to make the connection. One of the most difficult realities, I think, in our day, and everyone complains of it, is that we're watching the next generation not connect with our faith. Why? Why? Well, there's two ways to encourage us and I think help us through this. The first question is a probing one, one that I have to ask myself as a parent. And the question is, what do my children see from me? What do my children really see from me? As parents, what the next generation needs is to see from us a faith passed on through a deep commitment to God's promises. And what Abraham looked for, the eternal city. At the heart of this was a choice by Moses' parents to receive the better kingdom we've been talking about. To look for, apart from fear, the kingdom that has been promised, the heavenly land, the heavenly city, the reward that's mentioned in this very passage. And I was reading an author this week who made an important point. This is how we pass on the faith to our children. We teach them to think biblically about the world and the times that we live. He said, children are generally hardened by the hypocrisy of their parents. That stings. We've all had a good life in Egypt. We've all had plenty of abundance in Egypt. We've all had good homes. Lots of blessing. Lots of wealth. And we and our families have been able to live in ease with a government that has never pressed us about our faith. You've had free reign. All this abundance, all this freedom, all this blessing, all this excess. Has that been such a friend to us in passing on the faith to our children? In a world that's not our home? Listen to me. These days are over. These days are over. There's no more neutrality in this. The moral revolution is not waiting to happen. It's happened. There are things happening right now. If you can't see it, you're not processing the world. Marriage is over soon, altogether. It's mocked. Did you see at the Grammys last week? They worship Satan. Did you see it? They worship Satan. We live in the time of a great rebellion. We live in Exodus 1 times. And it has come fast. Rebellion has come. As 2 Thessalonians says, it has warned us that before even the second coming, there will be a great apostasy, a great rebellion against God universally. What more do you need to make the case that we're living in that time? What do we do? What do we do? We sit around and complain? Oh, everything's so bad. Or do we take the apathetic approach and think we can just be tucked away with our families and we won't have to deal with any of this? No longer can any parent, and then we never should have, but no longer will any parent be able to be apathetic. If you want to win the next generation, there has to be conviction, beloved. There has to be. We cannot afford to never talk about the Lord in our homes. God was saving Israel to come out and to worship Him. You want your children to value worship in the future? You know what Lenin said? Give me your children by five and I'll have them for life. That was Lenin. He understood it. To speak of the Lord in our homes and our rising and our sitting down. That's Deuteronomy 6. To lead them in the way. They should hear from us about what's right and what's wrong. And we should tell them what's right and what's wrong. And we should have the courage to tell them, no. Remember at the heart of the Exodus, when everything was done and they had been hit with all the plagues, the last appeal to Pharaoh was, just go, but leave your children. Leave your children. Have we pursued a better reward? A better kingdom? A better land? We want our children to follow in the same faith, and I say this to me, they have to see it from us. They say, you know, some people just don't talk about their faith. How could you not talk about your faith? They have to see this fearlessness that we train them in what Joshua said, be bold and courageous. The Lord is on your side. And what an encouragement to our children. Maybe I could speak to them for a minute. Sure, we all fail as parents. There's all hypocrisies in parents. Don't use that. We're all sinners. Look at what you've been given. You have a committed family who has been here and gathers together in worship as families. You've been baptized and the sign has been put on you by the Lord. You are His child. He loves you. Embrace who you are. You know, they say now in ministry that we have to treat those in the young adult category as 4 years behind what they were in my generation. So if I'm dealing with a 20-year-old, I'm dealing with a 16-year-old. That's the going perspective in society of how far behind in development our young people are. I want to encourage you. The Lord loves you. You belong to Him. You have purpose in His kingdom. He has claimed you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That matters. Matters with who you marry. Matters what you do with your life. Matters with the choices that you make. You don't have the option to choose Baal. He chose you. And that's the encouragement. And now the author wants to encourage you with the fruit of that in Moses' life. And that there's real power given to you. Notice this. Moses found himself in this really peculiar situation. He stood between both worlds. Both were offered to him. As you know, he was Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, Pharaoh's daughter took him out of the basket in the Nile and raised him. What an amazing thing. I'm not sure Moses' parents would have chose that. Oh, I'm sure a lot of parents today would think, wow, our son made it. Did he? Made it out of the hardships of Egypt, and now he's going to live the good life. Make a lot of money and be a ruler in Egypt. You understand that Moses, as Pharaoh's daughter, was in line to receive the throne? Had this gone down the way it could have gone down, we'd be reading in the history books about Moshe the First. He was given everything. He was given power. He was given riches. He was given money. He was given happiness. He was given women. He was given sex. All the treasures of Egypt were offered to him. But what happened? Well, the author wants us to think about it. Notice faith's choice. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter who had raised him, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That event comes out of Exodus chapter 2. One day Moses had grown up. We read, he went out to where his own people were. Notice that. That's what the author is grabbing. His own people. His own people. The people of the world are not your people. Your people are right here. Your people are the kingdom of God. Your people are the church. One day he went out and watched them at hard labor. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Again, he says it. Looking this way and that way, seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. Because he supposed they would understand he was the one to deliver them. The author says Moses looked at his own people. What an encouragement to the young adults here right now. Moses looked to his own people, the people of the Lord, and he had a choice. He made a choice. Before him was everything that Egypt had to offer. The throne, the riches, the honor, the wealth, the kingdom. And with that came a consequence, at least as he could have reasoned. All the pleasures I could ever have, all the notoriety, all the fame I could ever have, I could get in a moment. You know, we're not in much different of a situation. Our young people face really hard stuff right now. Stuff that previous generations have not. I know it's hard. The world says you can have whatever your heart wishes right now. You never have to say no. I mean, it's the temptation of the devil with Jesus, isn't it? You can have all the pleasures of Egypt now. But the text highlights a certain problem. Notice the connection. All the treasures of Egypt in this connection, if he'd have chosen that, came with the pleasures of sin. Sin. You know what sin is? It's rebellion against God. It's so powerful. It's so attractive. And think of what's offered, any kind of desire you want to fulfill in our world. That's what it says to you today. Who is anyone who would tell you differently? You don't have to withhold from yourself anything that you desire. You can serve them all. What did Moses choose? He chose to suffer affliction with God's people, with his family. I think the encouragement here is not to feel that we have the ability as parents to do this well in our own strength, or that Moses had the ability to make this choice in his own strength. I think we need to really make this clear. We would read this all wrong, and I would preach this wrong if I simply left it with that kind of insinuation. The whole point of Hebrews 11 has been by faith, we receive power from on high. By faith, Sarah was given power to conceive. The encouragement is, by faith, God showed his power in these people's lives, and that is the outcome of what he can do for you. That's his point. So he's saying, by faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is this instrument by which this blessing comes. Now, why would Moses ever do that? Who in their right mind would ever choose this as opposed to that? Precisely because of what Paul said. He considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is soon to be revealed in us. I don't want to miss the really good news here. I think we could read this and think that God just calls us to a life of suffering and it's hard and it's miserable and there's no reward in it. That is not what this is saying. The most crucial statement in the passage is this morning. He esteemed. He measured out for him that the reproach of Christ was of greater riches than anything Egypt offers. That is so encouraging. This is what he's encouraging us with. Of far greater riches in this life is to have Jesus, is to have Christ, than anything you could gain from this world. That you are protected by him, that you are loved by him, that you are given him, that you are identified with him, and that you are given the privilege of identifying with him in his suffering. That's the story embedded here, if you haven't seen it here. It's the story of Christ. That the very Son of God, who through whom everything was made, who had all riches and everything in heaven, took on our rags for us in a human nature and became one of us in the incarnation and came down to Egypt. That's why at the beginning, it says, out of Egypt I've called my son, to suffer the shame and the humiliation of the cross and to die for us, to love us, to give us everything, to go to the depths of that shame out of that love. And he's encouraging us that in choosing Christ, you have the extraordinary privilege of being identified with him, that he saved you and that he loves you and that there's purpose for you and that there's a reward for you. And that, as Hebrews has said, he's not ashamed to be called your God. And just let that set in for a minute. It's inspiring. This is not, oh, how hard. This is inspiring, is what he's trying to do. But you're given everything. You think you've lost something in following Jesus? You think the fleeting, passing pleasures of sin are worth comparing to him? You think you're going to gain everything. You do gain everything. This is at the heart of what Paul is saying. Whether we live or die, we have gained Christ and we belong to him. Choosing Christ in the midst of affliction and hardship is the greatest privilege, because you're identified with the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. To the young people and young adults, I know you're pressed with identities and purpose and meaning and how you fit into all this. I want you to look at the faith of your parents today. Look at the purity of it. Look at the rightness of it. In this world where they're worshiping Satan at the Grammys, look what they've taught you. Where we fail, forgive us. We have. But see that we're here today because we believe the promise and want you to. Ever notice how miserable you are when you choose sin? There's a reason. That's a good thing. That's God coming after you. The fleeting, passing pleasures of sin offer you sadness. But before you is the promise of a reward. And no matter what, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those who love him. So maybe that's the time for a call. Choose Christ, all of us. Choose Christ. No matter how hard it may be, he gives you grace. He gives you more grace. And when you sin, you can repent. And he'll forgive you. He calls you to repent. And the pathway is one of true happiness and joy. Well, the message here today is together, we will not fear. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Embrace the same faith. Embrace the same faith that inspired Moses' parents. Embrace the same faith that inspired Moses, who took on and embraced the reproaches of Christ as the great reward. This is an honor. So embrace it. Start speaking of it. He promises that after this short life, which is full of affliction, there is a reward is with him and he is going to give it to you in full. Don't lose heart in the struggle. See the encouragement here. If you have Christ, you have everything. Forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life. The hatred of the world is what he has honored you to receive. The hatred of the world is what he has honored you to receive as you receive your greatest treasure in him.
Well, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day, spending it with us here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org. Or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely or call 888-504-8805. Or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. and then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Abounding Grace and what the Reformed perspective brings to the gospel and our love for Jesus, well, on behalf of Dale Van Dyke, pastor of Covenant Grace URC, I would like to invite you to join them at Covenant Grace. Worship services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. They're located at 1227 Loomis Trail Road here in Linden. They're a small church, but with big arms. For more information, visit their website, covenantgracereformedchurch.org, or give them a call, 360-354-2781.